Genesis 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your slave is in your hands," Abraham said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai ill-treated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from? And where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." Lost my place. The angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility towards all his brothers." She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. Let me pray for Mike. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this story, Hagar's story. I pray that you'd fill Mike with your spirit now as he seeks to help us explore these two particular questions of where we have come from and where we are going. Thank you, Lord, for your promises to us. I pray above all that through everything Mike says right now, that your truth and your grace would prevail. Amen.
Thank you, Laura. Happy New Year. It's very good for Chris and I to be able to be with you this morning and to worship in person together like this. And good to stand on the threshold of this new year and to reflect on where we've come from and where we're going. This passage that was just read to us in Genesis 16, the story of Hagar, is a difficult one. It's a challenging one. But I was drawn to it as I was thinking about this morning's talk by these questions, which God, the angel of God, asks Hagar in this passage. Now, thinking about those two questions, it's clear, I think, in the passage that when God asks Hagar, "Where have you come from and where are you going?" God is not looking for information. God already knows everything about Hagar's story, all the pain and the heartbreak and the difficulty. He even knows the future. He talks to her about it. So why does God ask? Why does he ask Hagar, where have you come from? And where are you going? Well, I think it's because God wants Hagar to reflect. To reflect on the pain and difficulty which she's running away from. To reflect on the directionless flight that she's taking that's led her into a desert. She's running away. She's running away from things that are hard. But she really has nowhere to go. No purpose. No sense of direction. No clarity. I wonder whether God wants us to ponder these two questions at the start of this new year. Where have you come from? Where have I come from? What do I look back on in this last year? Has this been a year of joy, of gratitude, of thankfulness, of purpose and direction? Or has this been a year of spinning my wheels, or a year of failure or difficulty? A year of broken relationships, perhaps, or hurt or harm, or things that I would like to run away from? We all have a different story, but it's good at the start of the year to honestly reflect on our lives, and also to allow God to ask us, where are you going? Mike, where are you going this year? What is your sense of purpose or direction? Do you have clarity? Are there things that you're hoping for, aiming for, longing for, praying for? Where are you going? Well, whatever your situation, there are three important lessons from this passage that I would like us to reflect on together as we enter this new year and as we think about these questions. Three lessons from Hagar's story. First, don't be surprised by human failure and sin. Second, don't ever forget God's love. And third, hang on to God's promises. First, then, don't be surprised by human failure and sin. It's a difficult passage to read in a church service like this, this story, because it brings us face to face with a very broken situation, a situation that's actually unpleasant to think about too deeply. The early verses in this chapter, which describe Sarah's frustration in being unable to have children, her treatment of her maid, Hagar, Abraham's willingness to go along with this. Hagar was completely in Abraham and Sarah's power. She had no say in the matter. She was an Egyptian maid that presumably Abraham and Sarah had got on their earlier stay in Egypt. That's recorded in chapter 13. This is the kind of thing that people go to prison for these days. This sort of abuse of young women. In fact, there's been a situation in the headlines this last week, hasn't there? That bears some similarities to this. This is not a pretty story. This is a messy, yucky situation that is described for us. And the Bible doesn't whitewash it. Sometimes, as I read Bible scholars, they seem to think that it makes it more acceptable because it was some sort of cultural custom of the day or it fit in with values of that period of history. That may help us to understand Abraham and Sarah's behavior, but it doesn't make it any nicer, any more than understanding that slavery in the 18th century or 19th century, early 19th century, was still widespread and acceptable, makes the suffering of an individual slave more acceptable. It just makes it more heartbreaking, I think. And it reveals to us and it reminds us that life, human life, is very broken. That everywhere around us in the world, there is sin and there is suffering that goes with it. And the story of the people of God is no different. I was just having a conversation with someone at the start of this service who was reflecting on feeling blessed in being part of this fellowship, but also observing or mentioning to me that he's aware of several friends who are involved in churches where things are going badly wrong. Even among the people of God, even in our own lives, if we're honest, is failure, brokenness, and sin. And if we look back honestly at last year, there are things that we would like to run away from. Things that we would like to be rid of. Broken relationships, failure, difficulty. Even among the people of God, even with Abraham and Sarah, whom God chose to launch, as it were, the lifeboat of salvation into the world. So first then, don't be surprised by human failure and sin. We're broken. We're a part of a broken humanity. But then secondly, don't ever forget God's love. Hagar, running away from this very broken situation, runs into the wilderness. She has no purpose or direction. She's in a desert, the text tells us very clearly. But in God's mercy and grace, she's found a spring of water where she can stop and quench her thirst. And as she does so, the angel of God finds her. I'm reminded of the story Jesus told about the lost sheep and the shepherd who goes in search of... when we used to tell that story to our children when they were growing up, you know, it was always some silly sheep who'd wandered off and got stuck in a thorn bush near a cliff or something, and the shepherd comes and rescues the lost sheep. Hagar is a lost soul in this story. Lost, broken, hurt, unhappy, desperate. And the angel of God finds her. And it is God who asks her these questions. And asks her to reflect on her life. It is God who cares about Hagar, even when no one else does. He cares about every detail of her life. He reveals himself to her as the God who sees her. The God who sees every detail of her life. And he tells, in telling her that she's pregnant, God tells her to name her baby Ishmael, which means God hears. God sees, God hears. He sees Hagar's desperate circumstances, he sees our lives. Nothing is hidden from him. He knows everything about us. And he cares. Cares deeply about Hagar. Cares deeply about her future. Cares deeply about her place in the great unfolding story of human history. My mother used to often quote the 19th century poem by Elizabeth Cheney that you may well know. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly father, such as cares for you and me." Hagar has a heavenly father who cares about her, who sees her, who hears her, who loves her. She may be caught up in a very broken set of relationships and be in a very desperate situation, but God's love is unchanging. And that's a crucial truth for us too, isn't it, this morning and at the beginning of this year. Whatever it is that we might be running away from or wish we could run away from last year, whatever it is that this year ahead brings, and we don't know what it is, but there's a fair chance that there's going to be some tough things in it. Maybe as a result of someone else's brokenness and sin, or maybe as a result of our own. But there will never be a point in this year ahead in which every one of us here, everyone watching online, every one of us in this building, there'll never be a point at which we cannot look up or stop or allow God to ask us these questions. Mike, where have you come from? Where are you going? And we can't look up to heaven and know that there's a God who loves us, who sees every detail of our lives, who hears every cry, even the cries, the unuttered cries of our hearts and our deepest longings and deepest fears. He knows us and he cares. There's never going to be a point ever in your life at which you can't look up, as it were, to heaven and see the hand of God's grace and love extended to you, and in which you can't, in prayer, reach up your hand of faith to take hold of his proffered hand of grace and love. Remember that. Never anything you do or anything anyone else does, however bad, when God's hand of grace is not extended to you in Jesus. You can always at any moment stop and look up and know for sure there is a God in heaven who sees, who hears, who loves. At this point in the Bible story, Hagar doesn't know about Jesus, about the cross, about God's great rescue operation. But we know. We know more than Hagar did. But it's the same God we know who reached out to Hagar. So don't ever forget God's love, and then lastly, hang on to God's promises. It's interesting to me in this story that Hagar, that God does not ask Hagar to make New Year's resolutions. I'm with you, Becky, on that. God doesn't ask Hagar to make some commitments or to make some promises to him. He does send her back to face the circumstances that she's running away from. Although when we find her story later in the unfolding of her story in Genesis 21, it's interesting that it doesn't really get better. And she ends up running away again. And the second time, God does not send her back. He still takes care of her. He still hears the cries of her infant son. But this time he sends her back. But he doesn't send her back with, you know, some bracing talk about Hagar, you know, pull yourself together. And what he does is he sends her back with promises. With promises about her baby. Her biggest worry at the time, presumably, had to do with the child that she was carrying. And God gives her amazing promises, reassuring her about her future and about her baby. Now, our circumstances are different. God doesn't repeat himself. No two life stories are the same. And thankfully, my story is very different from Hagar's. I would not like to swap places with Hagar. And I don't suppose you would too. We can be sure that God gave Hagar the grace that she needed for the life he called her to live. And we can be sure that God will give us the grace we need for the life he calls us to live. And we can also be sure that God has given us promises. In fact, he's given us a book full of promises. And I would like to suggest to you as we enter this new year that rather than make New Year's resolutions, I'm not saying you shouldn't make New Year's resolutions, just don't bet on yourself too much. Rather bet on God. I have always found it very difficult to keep my promises to God, but I've always found that God has kept his promises to me. So my suggestion to you at the start of this new year, as you reflect on the past, not being surprised at human sin, as you focus on God's love, that you ask God to direct you to some promises, maybe in your reading over this next week or two, at the start of this new year. Just ask God to show you a promise in his word that can anchor your faith and give you confidence and courage to persevere through the year ahead. If you're not in the habit of reading the Bible, I suggest you start with the Gospel of John. And begin reading the Gospel of John, one chapter a day over this next 3 weeks. And again, ask God to show and give you a promise. I came to Christ through a ministry of an organization called the Navigators. The Navigators began in the 1930s. Through a young man, a high school leaver, who was working in a lumber yard, driving trucks, delivering timber. And he was challenged by a friend to memorize some Bible verses. He wasn't a church-going person. But he agreed as part of a, like, show my friend I can do it. Show my friends I can do it. And so he agreed to memorize this group of 10 verses. One day he was walking to work. And he was, one of the verses that he'd committed to memory popped into his mind. It was John 5, verse 24. where Jesus makes this promise, "Truly, truly, I say to you." Whoever hears my word, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me, has eternal life. He will not come under judgment, but is passed from death to life. This young man, as he was walking, was thinking about that eternal life. Jesus promises eternal life. And he prayed as he was walking along to work that morning, "God, whatever it means to believe in Jesus, I do that right now." And his whole life completely changed. And he ended up founding the movement initially among sailors in the US military, which eventually, years later, led to my coming to faith in Christ. Now, I don't know what lies ahead in your future. I don't know what lies ahead in mine even, but I do know that God has given promises that can anchor my faith into this year ahead, and he's given promises that can anchor your faith into this year ahead, just as real, just as meaningful as these promises he gave Hagar. Here's another promise, also from John's Gospel. "Peace I leave with you," Jesus said. "My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." That's a promise I need at the moment. I don't know why or what it is about this pandemic and the weariness of entering 2022, or whether it's to do with my age and stage of life, but I realize I'm entering this year with a lot of fear and apprehension. Just not big fears, nothing I can quite put my finger on, just nagging inside me, robbing me of joy, robbing me of courage. And I need this promise, the promise of God's peace. So, where have you come from? And where are you going? Don't be surprised at human failure or sin, either your own or anybody else's. Don't let it throw you. Don't ever forget God's love, God's care for you. He sees you, he hears you. And hang on to God's promises. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for bringing us to this point in our lives, this moment now. Thank you for all that you have allowed in this past year, even in this past 2 days. Thank you that as we sung earlier, you are the sovereign Lord of our lives. Not a harsh master like Sarah and Abraham were to Hagar, but a loving father. Deeply concerned for us, deeply concerned that the full potential of our lives might be realized. Help us to put ourselves in your hands now at the start of this year, to go forward confident of your love and holding on to your promises. for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.